Christ. I'm going to speak on the verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 9. We'll just read the first 7 verses, Isaiah chapter 9. Many prophecies, of course, we come to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they all are fulfilled, but they're mentioned hundreds, thousands of years previous. And here's just an example of Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 1 through to the verse 7, please. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lighted afflicted the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, not increased the joy. A joy before thee, according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. We pray the Lord will bless the reading of this. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's all. Have together. Amen. In all the events of the life of the Lord Jesus, the wonderful prophecies, promises that God had put in the Old Testament were now being fulfilled. At this time of year especially, we often read the Gospels, according to the speaks about the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus was born of David's family, just as the prophets had said. I just wonder if you're making notes this morning. There are many, many Old Testament references which do speak and do tell the story of the Lord Jesus, not only being born, but his life, his ministry, and especially his death on the cross on Calvary. 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 16, is one of them, speaking about David's family. And verse 16, for example, says, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy kingdom shall be established forever." And then in Psalms number 89, it says, verse 3 and 4, "I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations." And then Psalm 132, it says, "Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne." Then we've been reading in Isaiah chapter 9, and then also Isaiah 11, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." So we learn from these three verses about David. The Lord Jesus was born through David, and eventually comes the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we know he was born in Bethlehem, in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephraim, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." That's why the shepherds, and of course the wise men, they knew exactly when they saw the star. When the angels come to tell them, they didn't waste no time discussing it. They went straight to the stable to find the Lord Jesus. We know also in Isaiah 7:14, "The Lord Jesus was to be born of a virgin. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Imagine Mary knowing these scriptures in the Old Testament, and the angel comes and says, thou art chosen among women. What a special privilege that would be to carry the baby Jesus into the world. Then as we were speaking with the children, we know in Hosea that he had to flee into Egypt. chapter 11, verse 1 of Hosea, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Also mentioned the town of Galilee, and Isaiah chapter 9, it talks about, afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan into Galilee of the nations. His coming also was preceded by the coming of John the Baptist, who prepared the way. Isaiah 40, again, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So we cannot suddenly cut off the Old Testament scriptures and use the New Testament. The Bible is complete from Genesis to Revelation. And these are only a few of the verses. In Malachi, it speaks about John the Baptist again. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Of course, we know the Lord Jesus and the John the Baptist born around at the same time. Also was accompanied by the terrible killing of Bethlehem's children. Genesis 35, Genesis 48, Jeremiah 31, verse 15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. So all of these, of course, was prophesied. And of course, as we read the account in the New Testament, the early parts, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll see that these have indeed come to pass. In the years to come, the Lord Jesus would grow up and, of course, fulfill all the other promises that God the Father had made about him, including the promise, especially that the Lord Jesus would die on the cross for our sins, and that whosoever believeth on him as our Savior would have everlasting life. And as sure as we gathered here this morning as God's people, can you say to yourself, yes, I have believed on him. He is my Savior. And as a result of this, I now have everlasting life. Do you realize this morning there are thousands and millions of people? They don't have everlasting life. They don't have that Savior. They don't have this truth. And have no knowledge of their sins forgiven. Because they've never had the privilege that you have in Coleraine, that our church has right across the land. There are millions starved of the truth today because they have never been told. That alone is a good reason to come and worship the Lord Jesus today. Brother Trevor is going out to Papua New Guinea. You can expect him back in a month's time. If he's one day longer than that, he's going to stay there the rest of his life. So you have to go to the airport to make sure he's there. There's people translating the Bible story from Genesis to Revelation, so they can hear the truth and be gloriously converted. Pray for all those people, those missionaries in far away who give up their lives to sacrificially to go and serve the Lord in other parts of the world. You think sometimes we think it's just me and nobody else, but it's not. We often think like Elijah, Lord, I want to die. I'm the only Christian left. I'm the only person mourning. The Lord says, Elijah, you're not. There's 7,000 more people. There's 7,000 more people. Millions of God's children right across the world. What a day that's going to be. The Lord Jesus returns to take us home and take all his children back again. So that's a thought this morning. Simply, Isaiah 9, verse 6, his name shall be called Wonderful. The word wonderful is a wonderful word. Didn't mean to say that, but that's fine. But it is a wonderful word. It sums up. My wife baked a cake and I said it was wonderful, that puts a wee smile on her face. Wonderful is one of those words that sums up the best. Without being too wordy, it's a simple word, and it's a lovely word, and it's a biblical word. His name shall be called Wonderful. As we enter this time of year, the Christmas season, God's children, along with many lost people, are thinking about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Universally across the world, we think, generally speaking, this surely is the reason for this time of year. We sing the songs of Christmas, you hear the music in the streets. We often retell the story of the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world. A school phoned me up and said, Colin, can you come to Wednesday before we break for school and tell the children the Christmas story? Because there's so much about Christmas, and children often today in Northern Ireland, they don't know the Christmas story. Of course, it's only a terminology, but what you meant was, tell us a story of Jesus coming into the world. And of course, what a privilege and opportunity that is to do that. We read the passages from the Bible that speak of his birth. We sing the Christmas carols to commemorate his birth and give gifts one to another. Many people, of course, they don't believe in Christmas. That's fine. Everyone's entitled to what they do, and they don't send gifts. But you know what I love to do? Give one of those persons a wee present. And then whenever they take it and go into the door, I'd love to peep through the window to see if they open it. And then I'd love to keep peeping through the window to see what they do with it. Then I'd love to knock the door and say, sorry, I forgot, you don't take gifts, can I have it back again? It's very interesting. I didn't mean to say that, but it's very interesting. It's only a special family time. Of course, the greatest gift God ever gave to humanity was the birth of his lovely son. And surely, it's that if Christmas is the reason for remembering that. In July, we don't normally sing Away in a Manger, or Easter time, or Halloween time, that time of the year. But at Christmas time was a time especially when we come to sing and to think about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever we went to Australia, the first winter we had there, it was actually the first summer in Australia, I joined a tennis club. And I was the 12th best player in luck, because for years I only had 11 players, and I made number 12. And I joined the team. And they said to me, Colin, you're a pastor of one of the churches. Every 2 years we have a festival season. The whole town, everybody comes together. And can you come and tell us the reason why you believe Jesus came into the world? And I asked a question simply. I've been asked, why did Jesus come into the world? And believe it or not, but I find a verse in the Bible that tells me that. And it says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if I was to say nothing else, what a wonderful launching pad to launch into the gospel. The Bible answered it. That's why it's important to speak about the birth of Christ, because right away you've got the death of Christ followed very quickly afterwards. So it's a wonderful time of the year to honor the time when God became flesh and walked among men. So speaking here from the Old Testament, by looking into it's one of my favorite verses about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a favorite because it presents Christ in all of his fullness. The verse here, it presents Jesus in his coming, his dying, and his coming again. Sums up the Christian message. Christ came, Christ died, and Christ is coming again. It reveals much of the activity of Jesus in the lives of his people. And this morning, as in every day, we want the Lord Jesus to have the preeminence and the focus of the message. This verse is a small verse, 39 words, and those 39 words contain a portrait of the life of Christ in miniature. You can sum up the whole message of the Bible in this verse, the whole message of Christmas, the whole message of Easter, all in this one verse. There are only 39 words in the verse, but the world, very interesting, the world itself could not contain the volumes that would need to be written to exhaust its content. Does that not blow your mind this morning? The way the Holy Spirit has written just a few words about Christ. Yet whenever you start writing about the Lord Jesus, the world could not contain the very volumes that would need to be written to exhaust its content. And today I want to look at this verse to discover why heaven calls Jesus wonderful. And if he stands out as a wonder today, then there must be a reason why. We want to examine a little bit more closely verse 6 of Isaiah 9 and take this verse and preach for a little while on a thought. No wonder they call him wonderful. No wonder they call him wonderful. So we want to look at three areas where this verse says Jesus is wonderful. Well, first of all, he's wonderful in his humanity. Wonderful in his humanity. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. A child is born brings to mind his humanity. Something special about little children when they're born. So you're having another dedication tonight. Dedications are special. It's amazing how people dote over little babies. One time I remember going to hospital and I got lost. I ended up in the ward. It was all these women and all these babies. And everyone was all saying the same thing. Isn't he lovely? Imagine you ever say a wee baby goes, what happened? That wee baby's terrible. You never say that. He's lovely. He's gorgeous. He's the most special thing I've ever seen. And then, of course, along comes Granny with her big stick. He's all mine. He's all mine. And the granny loves the wee children, the wee baby, just dotes over them, and rightly so. But Jesus, he may have been born, but he was no ordinary baby. Every single baby in the world today is born with sin. Christ was born without sin, and that's the difference. He was flesh, but at the same time, he was God. John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In fact, His birth was anything but ordinary. In its announcement, the angels come down in a multitude, glorifying God and singing praise. That doesn't normally happen when a baby's born. The parents are there, the friends are there. But the angels come down to announce the birth of Christ. In its accomplishment, was anything but ordinary. Isaiah 7:14, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign, behold, the virgin shall conceive. Humanly speaking, that in itself is an absolute impossibility. Yet with God, nothing is impossible. And bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Anything but ordinary in its accompaniment, and although Jesus was and is God in the flesh, he was also a helpless baby. Must remember that. Philippians 2 verse 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So numerous verses in the Bible we can mention this morning. But just imagine for a moment the wonder of the very Creator placing himself, his very welfare, in the hands of the creature. The Creator placing himself in the hands of the creature. The wonder of the Creator being dependent on the creature for his food and nourishment. No wonder they call him wonderful. I just often wondered this here, the wee baby Lord Jesus and Mary and Joseph talking and saying these things. And there's the wee child Jesus. He knows all things. Knows all things. And there he is in the hands of his mother. So he's wonderful in his humanity. And he's also wonderful, secondly, in his humility. A son is given, calls to mind his deity and his death. Brings to mind John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. For God so loved you that he gave. Many of us Christians this morning, have you ever realized what God has given you this morning? Given you life? Given you a son. We often wonder, when's the last time we said thank you for that? When's the last time we said thank you, Lord, for sending the Lord Jesus? Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me. Thank you, Lord, for health and strength and all these things. We live in a day and age with the world. We live with the world. We walk like the world. We talk like the world. We use the technology of the world. But the Lord said, when is the last time you thank me for my son, the Lord Jesus? Even though Jesus was the Son of Man, he was also the Son of God. He was more than just a man. He was the very God-man. And this verse reminds us that Jesus was the Son of God. And believing that is essential to being saved, if you're unsaved here this morning. John 20:31, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through him. I pity Muslims today. Notice in one of the newspapers, says, and a Muslim had a big protest on a placard, Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. And if a person believes that, they're not saved. They cannot be saved. Because the Bible says, I and my Father are one. And Jesus is the Son of God and God the Son, co-equal, co-eternal. That's why we must pray for the millions of lost people. But the glorious light of the gospel will prick their hearts and shine upon their hearts. Never take your Christian faith for granted. Be thankful for it. Be thankful for it. But this little phrase, is given, literally means to be delivered up, reminds us that this God-man came into the world for a singular purpose. Why did Jesus come into the world? Not to live a good life, not to do many miracles or tell parables, teach parables. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came into this world to deliver himself up as a ransom for sin on the cross of Calvary. Philippians 2 verse 8, being found in fashion as of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's why Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Of course, Herod could not have his way by having him destroyed. The devil wanted to ruin God's plan of salvation. But that was not God's plan. God's plan was to take him all the way to the cross and leave him there. And when we think to die for our sin, and when we think of the price he paid to save our soul, Isaiah 52 verse 14, and many were astonished or stoned at thee. His visage was so marred. This was the beating that Christ endured for me and for you. His visage was so marred more than any man, and as far more than the sons of men. Psalm 129. The pliers plied upon my back. They made long their furrows. The spitting, the beating, the nailing, the rejection, the hating, the abusing. What other word can you think of this morning? In the light of that, what Christ has suffered for you, and to say that he to me is wonderful. Whenever you read Matthew's account, chapter 27, the end of it, and read of the horrors of the day that Christ died, what else can you say about him but that he is wonderful? No wonder they call him wonderful in his humanity and his humility. But finally, the Lord Jesus this morning is wonderful in his honor. The honor of his position. We are told that the government shall be upon his shoulders. Two great truths are known here. First, that this Son that was given, who died on the cross, praise God, would rise again, and he has done just that. Secondly, this phrase takes to us many years into the future, when this risen one comes again to the earth to reign and to come back again. We must keep in light of that, to remember that no man knoweth, not even the angels in heaven, when Christ Jesus shall return again. He came, first of all, as a Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. But secondly, he's going to come not to die, but to reign. Not to suffer, but to put down evil and destroy it once and for all. The first time Christ came as a Savior, the next time he will come as King to conquer. At the knee of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. How the world treats him today doesn't really matter, because one day every knee shall bow. What a day that's going to be. Even those men who have said we have no king but Caesar will bow before him in his honor and exaltation in that day. And this morning may we never forget who Christ is. He is a King of kings. He is a Lord of lords. And he has been enthroned as Lord. Has he been enthroned as Lord and King of your life? If you're not saved this morning, you're missing out on the greatest privilege. Imagine this morning, if you want to go to Queen Elizabeth, that'll be impossible. If you want to go to the President or the Prime Minister, it's impossible for a normal person to go to make that entry. Even to go to a politician, it's almost impossible. But to go to the King of kings, he just says, come. The door's open. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we have that access to come. What a difference there is between King Jesus and anyone else on this earth. The honor of his person, his position. Notice that Jesus has given several names in the verse. And this verse calls him by the singular noun, name, singularly. Why is this? Well, I think it's because he is all of these things at the same time. This is our Savior. In his name we find out who he is. In the verse 6 of Isaiah 9, he's wonderful. To look at that word, it simply means he's supernatural, he's extraordinary. He is counselor, gives advice and counsel, purpose, device, plan. Something goes wrong with your life, your family, you go to family and friends and counselors. Something goes wrong at home, you might have to go to the police or whatever. But who's the best counselor of all? Is not the Lord Jesus a friend, a second close and a brother? He's a wonderful person. Yeah, whenever we think of everything's on a price today, how much? Whenever we think of the price of salvation, it says without price. Salvation this morning is free. He's always available, gives perfect advice. Motives are always pure. Casting all your care upon Him. Why? Because He careth for you. Many people in the world today have to tell you, don't care about you. Don't care for you. They care about number one. But I can tell you in the authority of God's Word this morning, Christ cares. He cares about His children and He cares about sinners. He's the mighty God. He's strong, mighty, invincible. He alone is worthy, for He's defeated all our enemies. Think of your enemies this morning, apart from your neighbors and all those other people. Death, sin, the grave, eternity, a lost eternity. These are all enemies, but they're all conquered. Them I give unto you eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's what Christ says. He loves us. He supports us. He sustains us. He comforts us. He provides for us. This afternoon, you're going to tuck down to your lunch. Do you always take time to say, thank you, Lord, for this provision? I'm reading a book about a man who serves the Lord in Mexico. This man went out to sea and he said for the first time in his life he's never seen children sleeping in cornflake boxes. Millions of children today are homeless in parts of the world. And yet today we often eat our breakfast and our cereal and our lunch and dinner and don't even time to acknowledge the one who's provided it for us. That's the same Jesus. Is that not why we should call Him wonderful? The Creator, Provider of peace. He provides peace with God. He provides peace with yourself. And He provides peace with others. Nobody else can do that. But the Lord Jesus can do that. Peace with God, high, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it no wonder they call Him wonderful this morning? He's a great physician who never loses a case. He's a captain who never loses a battle. Teacher, He teaches perfectly every student. He's a preacher who always preaches the right message. He's a musician who always plays the right note. An artist who never misses a stroke. The Savior who completely saves all who come to Him. He's a master who always leads in the right direction. He's a friend who sticketh close in their brother. He's a counselor who always gives the right advice. This morning, in closing, if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, then you know why they call Him wonderful. But if you don't know Him, then surely He's not wonderful to you. But this morning, if you have seen that He is wonderful to you, then you must come and bow your knee and ask Him to save you. Whatever your position, whatever your situation, I ask you the question this morning, is the Lord Jesus Christ wonderful to you? He's wonderful to me. That's why I want to serve Him. And I trust and pray He's wonderful to you too this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we